Good morning, Abisham. This is something new for me. I don't know about you, at least when I'm preaching and there's people there, I can see if anybody's falling asleep or nodding off. But, well, be at liberty to sleep and snore at leisure. There was a poster. I know Abisham Chapel's got the notice board outside. Many colourful posters that people can see as they travel by, as they walk by down to the cliffs or somewhere. And the posters advertising services or whatever, but normally God is love or the wages of sin is death, some little message. But there was one a few years ago, which was quite a popular one, quite a clever one. And it said, it's on a church notice board with a picture of a church actually silhouetted and then lettering, which said, "This is a CH blank blank CH. What is missing?" And of course the answer is, well, it's a church, this is a picture of a church, and it's spelling CH like a crossword, CH blank blank CH, what is missing? You are. And the cleverness, the wisdom of it was, well, yeah, you are missing church. Well, the reality is that these last few months, we're not missing, it's church that's missing. And we've invented lots of I'll come up with lots of ingenious ways of how to do church. And as I said, this is, and it's been quite remarkable. We've been to many churches in Nailsea, in England. We've been to Wesley's Church. We've been to a church in Australia. We've been to churches in America. We've been to school assemblies, you know, all sorts of. And I've discovered many things. I've discovered, first and foremost, that people up front, you know, preachers, musicians, a collar and tie is old hat. That doesn't happen anymore, collar and tie. I say is old hat. Old hat seems to be the new fashion, that people would wear an old hat. You see musicians that are flat cap, that's the popular flat cap. One lad had a trilby on, another one wears a balaclava. But there we are, each to it. But that's one thing I've learned, that I've also learned that when you're singing, I know we're not allowed to sing at the minute, but when you're singing, the more spiritual the words, the more you've got to screw up your face. And I mean, apologies that if I am on video, I don't know if this is audio or video, but you know, that's what I've seen. That people screw up their faces. But the biggest thing I've learned, really, on watching sermons online and services online, the biggest thing I've learned really is that all these years I've been pronouncing God, his name, incorrect. His name, you hear them, and it's God. It's not God, it's God. God, you watch the next time. Anyway, that's by the by. That probably tells you more about me than about anybody. But what is church? It's made us think, rethink church when we've been denied. And most people think that church is what they see on Songs of Praise, that it's bands and drums and people waving their hands and praising God and having a good time. Or, as shown on comedy programmes particularly, it's a doddery old vicar speaking to, mumbling on to three or four old ladies and two or three children. And outside the churchyard, there's a fundraising thermometer coloured in red every time they've had a jumble sale and added another £50 to the total. And there's the vicar answering questions that nobody's really asking. What is the church? What is the church? That's what people think. Either, as I say, Songs of Praise or the mumbling old. Soren Kierkegaard was a Swedish theologian, and he said Jesus did a wonderful miracle in that he turned water into wine. Water into wine. But the church has done something even more remarkable. It has turned wine into water. In other words, he's saying we've lost the plot. A bit harsh, but have we lost the plot? Anyway, what is the church? Well, the Bible uses many pictures, metaphors of what the church is. But the biggest thing, most readily understood by people outside, if you like, is that the church is a building. Oh, we know the church is people, is flesh and blood rather than bricks and mortar, but it's a building. And people take directions from it. You know, they'll come and say, wind their window down and stop you in the street and say, excuse me, can you tell me where's the big sheep? And you say, well, you just go down the hill there. When you come to the church, turn right and you'll see it. And we take directions from churches in that. It's a building. It's a building. And that's probably what I want to just look at very briefly this morning, about the church as a building. We, in 1 Corinthians, it says that we are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, if you've got your Bibles, verse 9, we are God's building. Verse 16, we are God's temple. Hebrews 3, 6, we are God's house. It's us, flesh and blood. But for the building to be real, it needs to be centred on Christ. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for example, that Christ is the foundation, that him, the church's one foundation, is taken from 1 Corinthians 3:11. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ. We need to fix our building, our lives, on the Lord Jesus Christ. We take Christ away. You know, when my boys were small, it was building blocks, and they'd build a great big tower of bricks and get so high and it would fall away. And then, of course, Lego came in and they were able to be a bit better foundation, but they'd still topple over. And in fact, Jesus himself told a story, didn't he, about the foundation. The foolish man built his house on the sand. The wise man built his house on the rock. A firm foundation. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his marvellous word, a wonderful word, the Bible. We need to be centred on Bible, focused on Christ. He is the foundation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 tells us that he is the cornerstone. In verse 6, Peter's quoting Isaiah, where it says he is the cornerstone. Verse 7, he's quoting the Psalms, where he says he's the keystone, the capstone. And of course, a cornerstone... I'm not a builder. I did work on a building site for two. I was between jobs for 2 months, and on a building site, just as a labourer. I'm not a bricklayer, but the bricklayers, the proper bricklayers, take their course from the cornerstone. That's where, and everything has to marry in. Similarly, the keystone, the arch, it all has to fit in together. Take that capstone away, and the building collapses. Christ is the keystone, the cornerstone, the architect, the builder. Are you building your life on the Lord Jesus Christ? The second thing I want to say, that the Christian needs to build God's house, our lives, if you like, centered on Christ. We need that firm foundation, knowing that we really do belong to him. When I was pastor of two churches, but I never visited anybody for the first month or anybody outside, because I concentrated on the members, the membership only. And I went round the deacons, the members, the choir, the organist, the caretaker, everybody associated with the church who was on the list. And I would ask them, tell me your story, tell me your relationship with the Lord Jesus. And I heard such weird and wonderful. One lady said, well, you know, Pastor, I was christened in the Minster Church. And I said, yes, no, she said, that's it. I was, another one said, oh, well, I always say my prayers. I always try to be kind. And in other words, they didn't have a clue. They didn't have that relationship. They didn't know their sins were forgiven. They didn't have that firm foundation of trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But secondly, the second thing to say is that the church, a building, in the analogy, in the metaphor, the church, the building, is that it contains living stones. That's what Peter says in that same letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, that we are living stones and we're built together. And some are a bit rough around the edges, need smoothing, but we fit together and we're all needed. And perhaps the final thing in these stumbling, inadequate thoughts perhaps this morning is that we're still a work in progress. We're still under construction. It's going to be, if you're on a building site and you see this dust and dirt, and it looks awful, and then it all comes together, it all seems to click at the last moment. Well, we're here at the minute, and there's dust and dirt, there's sin. In fact, 1 Corinthians 3 says, verse 17, I think it is, it says, you can destroy God's temple. You can destroy God's temple. The little bits in italics above chapter 3 and verse 1 says disunity in the church. Some are saying, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I'm a personality follower. And Paul says, this shouldn't be. There shouldn't be disunity and sin, really, at the bottom, jealousy and backbiting. None of it. We're a work in progress. We're not perfect. That's what Paul says. Not that I have achieved perfection, but I press on. And that's what we do as the patriarchs of old. We press forward, looking to that building, not made with hands, but made by God Himself, eternal in the heavens. Amen. God bless you. A short and hopefully sweet, but nonetheless a reminder of what church is, and that we, to be part of it, need to be focused on Christ, centered on Christ, sure of our foundation, building day by day. Yeah, that we're alive for Him, and we're not there yet. We're still under construction. God bless you.